Praise God. One day, amen, one day. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 1. You would stand with me the honor of the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened," which means made alive, "which were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with him. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Dear God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you, Lord, have come to live inside of us, Lord, that there's a spiritual union that happens when we're born again. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, Lord, continue tonight about the facts of fellowship, Lord. We can look around the church tonight, Lord, and see the evidence, Lord, of the lack of biblical fellowship, Lord, in our own church, dear God. So we pray for those, Lord, who are fellowshipping, Lord, with the TV, the couch tonight, the motorcycle, the grill. Lord, just enjoying outside, Lord, that we can come here, though, Lord, because we're fellowshipping with you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you just touch every need, Lord, in our church, Lord. Many sick, many battling, Lord. Battling, Lord, physical sickness, Lord. Sin sickness, Lord. Walking a guilty distance, Lord. Help us, Lord, to reach out with the gospel, Lord, tonight, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If I could call this message, I'd call it Facts About Fellowship. We were looking about fellowship in Acts chapter 2 this morning. We go to Ephesians chapter 2. Continue to think about this idea of what true biblical fellowship is. I couldn't help but when I was reading the passages to smile. And you just got to learn to smile instead of getting so mad about people at church. But look in verse 3 with me. This is extra, no extra charge. So we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind. I'm so glad today that I got home and man, I had some good leftovers. Don't you like leftovers? I had leftovers for lunch, man, enjoyed those. I laid down on the couch and within about a few seconds, I was just as asleep as I could be. You know, the day of rest, amen. And I was resting there, but I really don't like to take a nap. I don't like to be inside. What a beautiful day. I got up and I went outside, took me a walk, and I was walking. I'll tell you about that walk later, though, something happened on that walk, but I was walking and I was thinking about the Word of God. I was thinking about this morning. I sent that message tonight, and I was thankful that my flesh didn't desire just to spend the rest of the day outside. Amen. There's so many people in our church and churches all over. You know, most churches don't have Sunday night anymore. They might have it for a special occasion, revival. They don't do Sunday night anymore. My goodness, ain't time for church. Got a fellowship outside, man. It's the last day for the work week, you know. Fellowship with the ball, fellowship with your motorcycle, fellowship with your friends. Man, that's why. But it's just really fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And I'm thankful that the more you fellowship with God, the less you want to fellowship with the flesh. We're going to look at some facts tonight about that. And I didn't come up with the message because of the weather. You know, had it before we got here tonight. Amen. But when we look this morning and just kind of sum up what's happening, really, if you look in verse 4, where it begins to talk about this "but God" and this mercy and this love, and then in verse 5, it makes that statement of quickened, in other words, made alive, and we're together with Christ. There's a spiritual union that happens when we're born again. So what we find is our relationship with God, we looked at this morning, which is the foundation for our fellowship with Him. And remember, we talked about fellowship. It's got nothing to do with what the typical Baptist church talks about fellowship. It's got to do with having a partnership and a relationship and going out and not the activity, but having such a close walk with Him that whenever you're around others or around what's going on, you just want to be in communion with Him, and that because of that union. But we find that really, most of the time we think about fellowship, yet what people think about is getting together with people that you get along with well. You just like to be with them. You communicate well with them. You just enjoy their company. And that's kind of what's a subjective relationship experience, you know, just according to how you feel, you know. If you don't feel like it, don't come. A lot of folks didn't feel like coming back to church, amen. Relationship, though, in the Bible that we find in this union with Christ is more, it's an objective fact. It's like this, what God's talking about when he comes together and you really know him and you really begin to have fellowship. It grieves my soul. You look around, so I know so many people in my family, they're lost as they can be. Like Bill say, lost as a ball in tall grass. And then I've got some that claim to be Christians. They don't know what fellowship is, no excitement of that. But what the fact is, the Bible says it's a relationship that is sure and secure, and it's something like, well, described, it's like a father and a son. I mean, Hilton, ain't nothing he can do. He could deny me, run away. He could claim I weren't his father. But the fact is, I am Hilton and Brooke's father. Nothing changes that. Nothing at all. Don't matter if they like me, don't like me, what happens in the future, past, where they go, where I go. It's a fact. Amen. It's like husbands and wives. When you're married to someone, you come into spiritual union with that person and you're joined together. Now, I often tell people, and I really try to tell everybody that wants to get married that I talk to, that when you enter into a biblical covenant marriage, what happens is that you are really joined together, amen? And the best example I've ever been told of that, I've not found anybody that's married or anybody that's even been through a divorce that agree with this, but the best simple explanation is when you go into covenant marriage, now you can get married another way, amen? You can go to the Justice of Peace. You can get a marriage license. You can go online. You can go online, David, this way. I can't stand this. You can go online this week. You can do some kind of, I don't know, something online. You can get a certificate that allow you to, somebody go get a marriage license, and you can marry them this week. That's the world we live in. But the thing, when you enter into a union, a covenant marriage with God, somebody told me one time it's like taking two pieces of construction paper, yellow construction paper and blue construction paper, kid stuff. You put Elmer's glue all over them. You put them together. You let it dry all night. And you try to pull that apart, you ain't going to be able to do it. Amen. You're going to get pieces of blue on yellow and pieces of yellow on blue. Amen. And anybody that's been through a breakup of a covenant marriage, you know what that's like. There's still pieces of you that are still connected with what God had done in your life. Amen. It's just a fact of what it is. So the fact is, and oh gosh, y'all, just grab a hold of this. Just if we surveyed all the Bible, the fact of our relationship is we're related to God as his children when we're born again. And how we're born again is we're born into his family through the power of the Holy Spirit when we come to him and we, listen, there has to be repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of direction. And where there is no repentance, where there is no change of mind, where there is no change of direction, there is no salvation. But when we're born again, man, we are never to end, just like Hilton and me and Brooke, just like a covenant marriage. It's never to end the relationship. It is set, it's secure, it's a fact. We're children of God. We're born again. We're joined in union with him. And then when you're joined, when we look at fellowship. In Acts, when it was talking about the apostles' teaching and prayers and fellowship and breaking of bread, it says, man, when you get united with Christ, then you're just going to, he's going to take you and unite you with other fellow believers. That's why sometimes you have trouble getting along with somebody in church or somebody that you know from at work, supposed to go to church. It's because they've not been born again. They're not in a relationship with him. They're lost as they can be, and that's why you have trouble having fellowship. I'm telling you, Christ is no different inside of me or you or anyone else. What Christ loves, Christ loves. Who Christ is, Christ is. There's love and kindness and peace and mercy. It doesn't matter what's going on. The same thing lives inside. So when you get up beside somebody and they claim to know Jesus Christ, they haven't ever got a smile on their face. They never share Jesus Christ. They grumble and complain all the time. There's always something wrong. Don't matter in our church or some other church or whatever. What the failing may be is they had no relationship with him, and that's why you can't have any fellowship with them. Amen. One time was saying that you can have more fellowship with a carnal Christian, talk about somebody that's just lost their love of God and turned away and living in sin and forgot everything they knew, than you can have some super spiritual people that just don't know Jesus Christ. We're members of a body through the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, and that's a lot different than the baptizing work of the baptismal pool back here, amen? Some people have been baptized multiple times and just over and over, and they still not got saved. Amen. And now there's nothing wrong. I used to be real, uptight about that. And I was thinking, I got saved one time. I got baptized one time. That's enough. But I told y'all before, got to Israel, got a chance to get baptized in the Jordan River by Johnny Hunt there on that trip. I said, hey, I want to sign me up for some of that. But see, baptism is just an outward symbol, God really taught me, of something happened inside. So there's nothing wrong with getting baptized the second time or a third time. Problem is that you better have been saved the first time. Amen. So turn to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place here in Ephesians and turn over to 1 Corinthians. I want us to look for a moment. We're coming right back here. I want you to look at one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, go there with me. This fact. So in other words, when we're God's children, we're God's children. Nothing can change that. We'll have, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You have the loves of Christ. You bear fruit for Christ. And it's just really that simple. We spend all our time excusing people, trying to give them excuses for why they don't act like Christ, when we just need to share the truth and love that they're lost and don't know him. But we, no matter where we're at in our spiritual walk, we're his children. And we're in this relationship. And isn't it wonderful to know that nothing's going to change that? And that I can have a series of events happen, and things can begin to happen. I become discouraged. I even become depressed. I become just, I want to give up, and all the things that can happen. Nothing's going to change that relationship. It doesn't matter what my spiritual condition is, how low I am or go, that it's always going to be a fact that I belong to him. I'm in a relationship with him, and he's continually want to draw me back. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 1, 2. The Bible says to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that are in every place, called upon the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. What that's a picture of, when it says sanctified in Christ Jesus, it means that when you're born again, you're set apart. You're set apart with him, and then it immediately goes and says that we're called to be saints. I'm saying that call never changes. He continually is calling us into a relationship. Listen, you're going to hear that call. Amen, Tim. We know when we're sinned. That's one way we know we're saved. That's one way we know we're born again, that when we sin, we are convicted by that sin, and we still hear that call, and we still got that connection, and I'm so thankful. I had a great mom and dad. Most of you had great moms and dads, and you think about, there's nothing that could break that connection, and nothing could break that love. They might give tough love. My dad had a belt, black belt about that wide. He'd use that belt on me. I didn't get near as many whoopings as I needed. My mama sometimes would say, go out and get a hickory. If you experience that, I always hated that. Why do you want to go out and get your own hickory? But I should have been whipped many more times than I was, but nothing. Hey, listen, I was their child, and they loved me, and I was set apart for them, and they were continually, and every time they whooped me, every time they corrected me, they were calling me back. And that's what God continually does. And that's what happens in relationship. And that's another way you know your relationship with him. He's calling you back. You're looking at other people walking the guilty distance. You look at lost people, and you're calling them back. So I'm thankful. The fact is, it doesn't matter what my spiritual condition is or what my spiritual feelings are. So I read, and I found just this great Bible study on this whole idea of fellowship. And so much of it was more so than only not for the messages for this morning tonight, but they were from my own personal understanding of why it is that fellowship has become, in fact, one statement was made, fellowship has become that if the Old Testament, New Testament folks came back, they wouldn't recognize it. They wouldn't understand what in the world we were doing. So what we need to understand, and listen, as I will study this, what we need to understand, and now we're much better at really even trying to understand things than we are to act upon it. What we need to understand, and then as we understand, act upon, is this. Relationship is connected to fellowship, like we said this morning, and also union is connected to communion. If you're not in union with Christ, we'll have no communion with Christ. And what communion is a spiritual union. It's literally this. It's intimate fellowship. Intimate fellowship with him. I'm so thankful that God wants to have fellowship with us, that he wants to spend time. And then as we are in communion and we're in this intimate relationship with him, this spiritual union, then we come together to have that. I read this statement, it says the means must keep ever keep in mind in our experience with God and one another, it's only going to grow in relation to our relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, you see it happen all the time. Man, when people, when you're growing in Christ together, then you're having fellowship with a friend or a church person in the church, or even a family, but all of a sudden you'll see that one will begin to, the fellowship will be broken because they'll begin to not walk as close with Christ, and it affects fellowship. So go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to just show you a few of the words that kind of describe what keeps this union. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you look in verse 4, it talks about but God. And man, I'm thankful for that phrase, but God. It changed direction. It changes everything. David, that's what we can say. It don't matter the circumstances of any of our prayer requests or what we're doing. We can always say, but God. Amen. Somebody can say, hey, this is looking bad in your family. This is looking bad at the church. This is looking bad at work. And we can also say, hey, but God. And the only way you can say but God is that you spent time in that communion, in that fellowship with Him, and you just go out into an old lost world, an old dark world, an old negative world. You say, but God. Amen? But God. And then what you're after you say but God, you then start talking about God. It says He's rich in mercy. Amen. I'd rather have a God who is rich in mercy and grace and love that's described here than have all money in the world. Amen. And I often think about how when you get sick, it don't matter how good your insurance is, it don't matter how much money you are, you can get a diagnosis that there's nothing the insurance can do, the doctors can do, your money can do, but it says, but God who is rich in mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is His love in action. God loves us. He loves us like we are. Oh, that's a good one, y'all. He loves us just like we are. The vilest sinner, He loves them right in their sin. But He loves them too much to leave them there. And that's what He does with us, right? The fellowship we've got now, the communion we've got now can be better. It can be stronger. As we sang and prayed, it can be poured on. God, give me more. Amen. Give me more mercy. Give me more grace. It says, for His great love, He loved us. In verse 5, it begins to talk about us. See, we need to always remember how we were. That's what chapter 2 began talking about, how in verse 2 it said there that we walked according to the course of this world, doing things like the world does it. It says that according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan lying to us, tempting us, and we were living that way. And then it kind of connects into, but God comes on, but we were dead in sins. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, that is enough to drive us to our Bibles every day, prayer every day, share the gospel every day, praise Him every day, come to church every time the doors are open. Because listen, we were dead in sins, but it says that He quickened us. He made us alive together in Christ. He saved us by His grace. And look what it says in verse 6, He raised us up together. And see, you start getting that communion, that fellowship twice here, raised up together. Isn't that something? Man, God will never raise us up out of any problem or raise us up to understanding of any scripture. He'll never raise us up alone. He always raises us up that He can use us to raise up other people, and we'll be raised up together. I'm telling you what we need to be as a father. I want to be in communion with God. I want to be on my knees. I want to be hid away. I want to be in His word. I want to be in prayer. And then when I get connected with my family, I want that God to raise us up together. I want them to have done the same thing. That's what I desire when I come to church. I'm telling you, you can just look. Man, there's so many people that fill churches. Don't matter if it's here, go to preach revival somewhere, go visit somewhere. Churches are full of people that are just like sitting there with their arms crossed, frowns on their faces, saying, hey, raise me up if you can. Get me excited if you can. Work as hard as you can. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to come together. God's design and what was being said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, when it said, hey, come fellowship with us. What He was saying then next all, He said, because our fellowship's with God. When you fellowship with God, have communion with Him, God raises you up. What would it be like one Sunday morning if every one of us was experiencing that 1 John fellowship, that Acts 2 fellowship, this Ephesians connection, and we've all been raised up together with Him. Our families have been raised up. We come in the church and He's raised us all together. That's Hallelujah Revival. Amen. And y'all pray, because I'm telling you, you know, it's springtime, and you know, we have those traditions. We got a spring revival and a fall revival, and I'm praying that God would rise up and allow us to do something that would really bring revival in the church. And I'm telling you, we love preaching, and we love singing, and we love church services. We even love revival, but there is the least amount of revival going on that I've ever seen in anywhere, any time of my life. So what does it look like, God? It probably looks at like that we spent time with him and he's raised us up together and revival breaks out before we even try to get organized to have revival. Amen? Raised up together. And look, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every time I see that passage, I think about sitting together. I look this morning, and I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but over the years sometimes we get so busy and so hectic, we get in a habit, you know, we're going to run out and get a bite to eat after church on Sunday morning. Run out, you know, maybe run through the drive-thru, run and eat at the fast food, or maybe even run to Monroe and get something and sit together. And man, I've been enjoying it so much, and I guess Adelaide had part in that, but you know, we sat down, like I said, over leftovers. Can I get a hallelujah this morning? I mean, we just sat over, they just sat together as family. I love to sit together with my family and eat and talk about y'all and all the stuff. No, we don't talk about y'all. What y'all talking about? But to sit together. We love to sit together. And that's where we got fellowship distorted. In church, we like to sit together. We like to sit together and talk about all manner of things. We like to get together. We like to eat together, sit together, eat together, sing together, go to Sunday school together. But it says here that he has made us sit together in heavenly places. That's the fellowship. That's the communion. If you've not been sitting together with him in communion in a heavenly place that's according to the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is just filling you up so much that you just can't contain it, that you got to go sit together with somebody else to share about it. I'm telling you what, Wednesday night we looked, and I told you I was struggling with the message for Wednesday night over at New Hope, and I really was, and I had thought I had a message, and then I did have a message, and then on Wednesday morning, I didn't have a message anymore, and God showed me something in his word that I had just never seen before, and we talked about the water pourers, we talked about the fussers in church, we talked about the frowners, and we talked about all these different things that happen. And listen, I'm telling you what, there's just a... It excites me to know that our excitement about Jesus and our excitement about church comes from fellowship with him. It does not come with gathering together and sitting around in a church building. I don't care how many people are there. I don't care what's going on. It's all about what time we've spent with him and communion with him before we came. It says there that he... In verse 7, that in the ages to come. How many ages are there to come? How long's eternity? He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Well, along those lines, we need to look at something else tonight. We need to look, and I mentioned this morning, and as I started, and I made this statement, or maybe made two statements, I looked at the scripture, I knew we had no time to get there this morning. But let me make those statements again, and we're going to go to 2, in fact, begin turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6:14. And we need to spend just a moment tonight understanding God trying to direct us about how we conduct this fellowship. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Hold your place there. I'll make three statements basically here. Listen, only those who are in relationship with one another, be in relationship with Christ, can have true fellowship with other people. Fellowship, as we said this morning, first and foremost is a relationship. It's not activity. It's not activity where you get together. But the principle is that when you have this relationship with God, when you then enter into activity and fellowship with him, it's all based out of that relationship and that connection. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, look what God says. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" There's another translation of that verse that reads this way. Do not become partners. Remember we said this relationship, this fellowship was like a partnership with God. Lord willing, we'll look at some of that next Sunday. But do not become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? God is warning us here that, listen, we are called to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I mean to the darkest homes, to the darkest people, to the darkest places. I mean, there's no limit. And God has called us to continually go out with our light. Amen? That is our purpose. To go and knock on any door and go in any home and talk to any person. You got a Muslim person at work, I just suggest you be prayed up and pray more and have more communion with God, because you're called to share. You're not called to respect his religion. You're called to share the truth and love with him about his religion and basically let him know the good news of Jesus Christ. And you'll only appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ if you know the bad news. Without Jesus Christ, when you die, you go to hell. Don't matter how many times you prayed and bowed to Muhammad. Amen? It doesn't matter. But we need to carry it to everyone. But the Bible tells us then, don't be getting into partnership. Don't be getting unequally yoked. Don't you be spending your fellowship time with unbelievers. And that's one of the greatest problems, Dickie, that we have in the world. We feel like in the church, it's all right. Hey, listen, I need to love everyone. Yes, you are, and share Jesus with them. What's the Bible say? It's basically say, don't you be getting into fellowship and partnership with those. Spending time. I'm telling you, I've got cousins and people I love to death. But the closer I got to Jesus Christ, and the more I understand about their lostness, and the more I pray for them and talk with them, I'm telling you what I won't do. I don't spend the time anymore, spending all my time fellowshipping, eating with them, drinking with them, talking with them, spending time with them. God, you know who will take care? Did I have to decide that and take care of that? Sure, you know, God took care of that. But I'm telling you, if you can take your communion and you can easily make partnership, whether it's in your family, in the work world, I'm telling you what, I've had many times, and I've shared it with y'all. I never will forget that guys at work like to go after work and do things that no business is doing. They ought to go home to the wives and families, and I got to work. I hadn't been married long, and they all asked them to go out. And, you know, the descriptive of that, what people tell you is you got to, you know, you need to drink with them. You need to play golf with them. You need to do that to be successful in business. Well, I wanted to be successful as a child of God before I was successful in business. I think God can take care of all that rest. But I'm telling you, you go out and you start spending your fellowship time, and you start spending that time with that lost crowd in the world, and you make a partnership with them, you're in for troubled ground. God says don't do it. We need to check who we're having communion with and relationship with. Hey, yeah, take them out. I love what somebody said one time. This preacher said that, I'm trying to think. It was, and he probably named a name, and it'd be a better story if I can remember the name, but it was just some very important person in the town. And I think he was maybe president, owner of some large company. And the preacher said this to him. He said, I want to have lunch with you. And he said, here's what I promise you. He said, I want to have lunch with you. I will pay for my lunch. You will not pay for my lunch. I will not ask you for money. Amen. You know, preachers and churches can be known. He said, I will not ask you for money. And what I want to do is I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Now think about it. See, that is having such a relationship with Jesus Christ that you ain't trying. I'm telling you, I haven't, you haven't. We have never won anybody to Jesus Christ or want anybody to come to church more or serve more or be more faithful by spending more time hanging out with them doing things. Amen. I could give you a list of times. I mean, I've rode four-wheelers with them. I've gone hunting with them. I've gone fishing with them. I've done all those things with them. And I tell you what, when it came down to the Word of God and you had to light the Word of God, it didn't matter how much time I spent with them. Y'all all right? So quit thinking that you're, I love that. Hey, that's what you do. Can't enter into business relationships. Well, you know, this is important for my company. It's important for my job. It's important for my position. I have to spend time with these people. You just don't understand, preacher. It ain't about my understanding. It's God. And if you're going to tell God he don't understand, well, you just see how that works out for you. Amen? We need to tell. Wouldn't it be great? Some of you got relationships now. You need to take the example of that preacher. Next time you say, listen, I want to get together again. It'll probably be the last time you get together with them. And say that. I want to get together for the purpose of talking to you about Jesus Christ. You'll find out how many friends. You'll find out how kind of fellowship you got. Amen? And I read this statement. I just wrote it down just as I read it. It says, because of our relationship with Christ, there can be no legitimate fellowship with the world. With demonism, with idolatry, or anything that is contrary to Christ and our relationship with Him. Churches are empty, not even having service tonight. Our church got empty seats because the world is full of people that are out fellowshipping with the world, living with the world, loving the world. And there's more idolatries, there's more idols in our world today than you'll ever find in the Old Testament or New Testament. Far more idols. Man, they all right. They okay. Convicts me. Next time somebody explains to me why they're not going to be at church, I'm just going to unload on them because they weren't here to hear it. Amen. Another statement I read, it said we must first have real living relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ before we can have experiential fellowship with God. As this is true with God, so it's also true in our fellowship with one another. You know what that paints a picture of? I'm telling you, these times, and I've been through times in my life, in my personal life, my ministry life. And I'll meet up with somebody and say, man, preacher, we ain't seen you forever. You still down there at Hamlin's Crossroads? We didn't know if you's down there. Didn't know if you're still alive. What's happened to you? And see, it's kind of like the Bible talks about when you pray and not letting your left hand know what the right hand's doing and talking about. And you know, sometimes if I know them real well, I might say something. If I don't, I'll say. But I'm telling you what, there's times where I've got no business to be anywhere but alone with God on my knees. And I'm telling you, that's something that don't just take a day, amen? That just don't take. I remember, and I may have shared this, I'll share it kind of in closing. I remember I was at work, and I had a great job, and I had with a great company. I had great people I worked with. I had a great salary, and I had some good stock options, and man, things were going well. I sat in my big office, and you know I love this. Had some guy flew down from corporate one time to look at something, and he told me that my office was too big for my position. He said, the office you've got is too big for the position you've got. You ought to be. And I'm thinking, what? I was in a messed up situation. I really was. But he told me that. But I'm telling you, I sat in my big office and I began to just be tearful, just about to cry. Sometimes I'd call Sandra, she'd call me. What's wrong? I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. Family's good. Work's good. Well, it's work good as work get, Marty. I mean, you know how that is. You know, but it works good. Everything's good. I'm healthy, feeling good. But I'm sitting here just so emotional. I'm about to cry. And I'd heard some good song or something. But I mean, I'm just like something is wrong. And I'll never forget. And I've told y'all this before. And I was so hard about be at work and don't miss work and all those things that you do when you get caught up in the business world. I got it one morning and I couldn't go. And I remember I went out in the woods, and I walked the woods, and I walked, and I walked, and I prayed, and I talked to God, and I weren't fit to be around anybody. I went in the house, and my grandma had given me one of Baxter McClendon, a good old evangelist. He had a green book and a burgundy book. She gave me the burgundy book sermons, and I was reading a sermon book, and it talked about him talking about the God got so a hold of him that it was like the wind outside was speaking to him, and the wind was calling him to get right with God and do what God wanted to do. And I looked up, and the wind is whooping around the house. And I'm telling you, folks, what happens is when you begin to really have fellowship with God, and when you begin to really sense you need fellowship with God, you need to get away from your family. You can, I tell you, get away from anybody, get away from the TV, get away from work, and let God speak to you. I'm telling you, when you begin to have fellowship with God, He'll flat do something in our lives. After salvation, if we are really saved and born again, our fellowship and our communion with God is totally dependent upon the filling of the Holy Spirit. Carnal Christians cannot have true fellowship either with God or one another. Now listen to this. They simply will not be functioning as partners. Amen? Where's your partners tonight? They won't be companions, and they won't be stewards. About the best they can have is a compatibility of human friendship or backgrounds or of likes and dislikes, but true fellowship engendered by the Spirit will certainly be hampered because carnality grieves and quenches the Spirit. I never forget one Sunday evening going to get a hamburger. Went to get a hamburger, sat down in the restaurant. People love to tell you what church people do. Some church people from back in times. And I remember one particular old church boy, he told me, Dickie, he said, man, God made it where, he said, I tried to drink something, it made me sick as a dog. I couldn't drink anymore. Man, love what the Lord's done. Other people tell me just how much they love the Lord and how life is Lord. So we was eating a hamburger. And I'd already heard all of a sudden they're out drinking and partying and but church on Sunday morning. And I never forget, I was sitting on my back and here they come in on Sunday night. They found them one of them churches, you don't have Sunday night service, you know. And they've been out doing whatever it is you do when you don't go to church and came in, they walked by, kind of that awkward speaking like you feel like you've got to. And I watched them as they walked down and sat down. And I looked at them. You know, folks, it's all, I mean, I like to work and get ragged, and I like to have a ragged day too. But I looked, and man, they're just all dressed. They've been out riding their motorcycles. And I thought, man, there was a time we fellowship together. There's a time we serve together. And now, folks, Satan's picking people off every day, every week, one by one, one by one. Would you bow with me? I like what Brother Johnny Hunt said. He said he came back to church on a Sunday night to get saved. Maybe you came back tonight to get saved. Maybe you've realized tonight you're not born again, and tonight you can be saved. How about it, church? I confess to one thing. The more I study about fellowship, the more I realize how lacking I am in the fellowship that He wants to have with me. Amen? Maybe we come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, we're going to leave here tonight wanting to sit in heavenly places. Wanting to set together. We'll be lifted up by you this week so that everyone that we encounter that's a fellow Christian, they'll be encouraged and we'll fellowship with them. And we'll break those ties and, Lord, we'll change our whole relationship and we won't have fellowship with the world and the lost anymore. That we'll go with purpose, with love, with the gospel message. But, Lord, let the lines be clear. Forgive us or we've muddied the water. Make it clear. Maybe you just need to come tonight and ask God to put inside you what fellowship really is so He can use you. Whatever the need is, would you come? In Jesus' name we pray.
Number 598.